One of the things we do as a nation is we've put our hope in our government. We put our hope in our wealth. We put our hope in the fact that, because it could be gone tomorrow, but put their hope in God. When you die, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, two things are going to have that right relationship with God and with others. Your life is going to be a success. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I hope to do with this church over the next year is turn you into the best thanks living. Not Thanksgiving, but thanks living. And I'm so excited about this because of the fact that we need to be the kind of people that are thankful all the time. As Christians, Thanksgiving is not a day, but a way of life. It says, be joyful always. That's the kind of person I want to be around. I want to be around somebody that's joyful. I don't want to be around Eeyore all the time. Eeyore just brings me down. I want somebody that's joyful. And here's the second thing he says, pray continually. That's what we're going to be doing over this 40 days. It's going to start on the 22nd. I'm going to send you an email out, the things that we're going to be praying for as a congregation for that week. And then on January the 1st is going to be the last of our 40 days of prayers together as a congregation. Linda Vines asked me, are we doing a 40 days of prayer last night to tell me this? I took my pride out of the way for a moment, and I said, Linda, that's a great idea. And I counted back 40 days, and on November 22nd, it's going to be 40 days till January the 1st. And about. And we're going to have this 40 days of prayer, but it's not going to just be prayer. It's going to be 40 days of thanksgiving. We are going to praise and worship God as at the end of the 40 days, if you will participate in this 40 days of prayer with us, God is going to do something amazing. The idea of pride. If it's going to be, it's up to me. That's one of the phrases that I've heard all my life. If it's going to be, it's up to me. And I think one of the things we need to realize is that God is a supplier of everything. You may have been able to turn something into something, but let me tell you who gave you the talent. I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about how they get frustrated with people sometimes. And I'm just wanting to say, amen, you mass didn't get things. Is not because I'm smarter than them, but because God gave me a gift to be able to do math. The reason why we have bad relationships, 9 times out of 10, it's because of pride. Put their hope in their wealth. One of the things we do as a nation is we've put our hope in our government. We put our hope in our wealth. We put our hope in the fact that, because it could be gone tomorrow, but put their hope in God. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at who I am. Look at what I have. And thanks living says, I have been so blessed by God. Work hard. I'm saying that God is the provider of all things. Things that I just really bugs me about church members, especially about Christians, is that they're so critical of others. They're critical. They're always ready to challenge someone. They're always ready to correct someone. The spirit is contagious in a church. Look at what it says in Philippians 2:14. And I tell you what, one of the things that some people think their spiritual gift is to complain or argue with the elders. That's what they do. They think, well, I've got to correct these elders. God put them in place, but he put me here to make sure they get it right. And I am here to tell you that it says right here, do everything without complaining or so that you may become blameless and pure. You want to be blameless and pure? Learn to quit complaining. Learn to quit arguing. Become blameless and pure children of God with in which you shine like stars in the universe. Wow. How generation that I am a part of, we're going to do it by doing everything without complaining and arguing. It's of this from Dale Robbins. because this is exactly what I thought, and he just wrote it before me, or I would have written this. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent
and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Dale Robbins.
I know I'm not supposed to complain, but you don't understand. I have a hard life. I'm dealing with you. What he's saying, but secondly, it's so true. People who complain have problems because they complain. And when you complain and you see the world. With God, we've had God in our life since we were children. John chapter 1 and verse 8, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for. We are spiritually to make sure that we get the reward that has been guaranteed us. And that is a problem with our thanks living, is that we play at our worship. And I've also got in your notes, if you have nothing to be thankful for, then make up your mind that there's something wrong. Not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should out of place, and underline this, but rather thanksgiving. Underline those. We need to quit doing the foolish talk, the obscenities, and the coarse joking, and we need to be people of thanksgiving. Well, how can I live this life of thanks living? How can I be thankful? There's a lot of things happening around us. How do we do this? For those of you who are real intelligent, I applaud your intelligence. But God is the source of your intelligence. And for those of you who've made a lot of money and have done well in your careers and things like that, I applaud you. That's great. But God is the source. And you need to remember that, because sometimes pride gets in our way and we think we are the source. Look at what it says here in James chapter 1, 16 and 17. Don't be many lives who does not change like shifting salad. Everything that me, they are God's. But your spouse does not belong to you. And I finally got my truck right now. And if God wants to take the Lord, for they're all His anyway. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request for God. Now, I just want you to write in your notes somewhere 5 to 1. 5 blessings for every 1 complaint you have. Practice being thankful every day. I heard a story of a man who was having a, he said that he heard a sermon on thanksgiving and being thankful, and so he went home and at night, every night, he would make a list of things that he was thankful for. And the things he was thankful for, and he says it made him sleep so much better. And finally, his business turned around. Every time I remember you. One of the things that I try to do when I'm praying, especially when I'm praying over a meal with somebody, is I thank God for the friendships that I have. And sometimes I will thank God for bringing certain people in my life. Now, you don't know whether I'm thanking God for bringing you in my life. And so many times we just take for granted the people that God puts in our lives, but God puts people in those relationships. One of the things that I try to do with my children quite often is I try to text them from time to time. And it is amazing what it will do to a family member for you. You see, we need to make it a habit of speaking it to others. We are thankful to God in private, but not in public. And we need to be thankful in public. I am going to serve others. I'm going to serve others. I'm not going to wait for somebody to ask me to do something. One of the things that I've learned in counseling, when somebody's having grief or they've gone through something to them, this is what I can do for you. This is how I can help you. This is how I'm praying. Make that person feel like that they can count on you. You see, it goes back to those 3 questions. Number for you, we're telling them, number 1, I love you. And number 2, when you can trust me to help you. I want you to think about the least of these people in your life. You see, I have really good friends. I have people that I can count on. I can call Bill Hemphill. He's been an encourager to me. He's been a mentor to me. He's done all of those things. He's not the least of these of my brethren. Across the room that doesn't have a great relationship with somebody else in the church. It may be somebody financially, they're struggling. He's not somebody that I normally spend time with. Or maybe doesn't even look like I look. Verse 28 says, since we have a kingdom, nothing can destroy thankful hearts with holy fear and awe. And I know for people to work in the children's church, and I was thinking about the church, if you don't take care of that, Neil's going to, because Neil loves those kids. And y'all, but then I got to thinking about it as he was doing his announcements, and I was thinking, why aren't people doing that? Well, of your pew. And just take for a moment and think of the idea of you're sitting in pew, right? It's to serve, and it's a lot easier to sit right here than go in and serve those kids. And sometimes kids can be little brats. Kids make messes. But you know, when you and on the day of judgment, me by serving those stinky and sticky kids, then you appear it later. You may get miss the opportunity to commune with your brothers and serve him. Then have communion with your brothers and sisters. Give generously. And I know some of you go, oh, here we go again. The preacher's talking about money. Well, let me just give you my disclaimer one more time. I am not talking about giving to the church. Neil Farr does not need a raise, okay? We can use all the money you give here to the church at any time. The elders are doing a really good job with handling the money and being wise with the money, but this is not about you giving more to the church. If you're not giving to the church, giving generously is looking for opportunities to give to others in need. We've got messengers of hope. That's one area. Give to Santa's workshop, but learn to be somebody that gives generously. Look for opportunities to give to others in every way. Underline those words. You will be made rich in every way. Well, somebody says, well, look, Neil, I'm only getting by right now. I'm barely paying my bills. You don't understand. If I miss a paycheck, things are going to go south for me and my family. It says you will be made rich in every way. And here's what it says. Underline the words, so that. And maybe the reason why you're not being made rich in every way is because you've missed this so that, or will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. When I am able to give to others, I am thanking God for what He has blessed me with. We live in a very narcissistic society. We live in a country where cans. And the reality of it is God wants us to be a river of blessing. And He's doing that so that we can share with the world, and we can share with the world in such a way that it will make an impact on them. And I, whoever needs it, finds it. But it's another thing to say, you know, this is something I'm going to get involved in. And so many times when we're doing the communion, the thought comes to my mind, what did His body look like? And I think to myself, how would that be? What would that be like? And then I realize in order to do that, we have to have that body. And it always comes back to me whenever I think that we need to have a body of Christ. And when we let that sink, body of Christ, we are His hands. We are His feet. We are His body. We sing the Lord's invitation. We recognize where they are spiritually. We're inviting people to make a difference through our singing to each other. But also, if somebody is in this room today and you're hurting, and if you need forgiveness of the church, this is a time to express your repentance and ask for prayer.